stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, what San Diego has to offer in the way of wellness and self-care as we move deeper into the new year. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. With the new year comes new resolutions. Maybe you're looking for that new year glow up. That can also come in a lot of ways, like self-care and exercise. Well, my next two guests are reaching out to the community and helping them find their own sense of wellness, especially in tough times. I'm here with Sally Morgan. She's a yoga instructor and the founder of Seeking Satya, a yoga brand focused on well-being and inclusiveness. Hello.
Hi.
Also with us is LaRaza Webb. She's the co-founder and chief operating officer of The Block Club, a community space in San Diego's Black Arts and Culture District. She's also an Afro hair scientist and a licensed braider. LaRaza, welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
So glad to have you both here. So here's a question for the both of you. Wellness, you know, it can mean a lot of different things. So how do you define it personally? Sally, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I see wellness as a beautiful pie chart, and there's different slices of components. So it could be mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. There's so many realms. And so for me, I think it's integrating my mind, my body, and some may say heart, but I also say soul. So a little deeper beyond just the surface level of my heart.
LaRaza, what about you?
Yeah, for me, wellness has not been like a solitary pursuit. I see it as a union between the mental, the spiritual, the physical, similar to, and community health as well. I really enjoy seeing the internal state that match the external state when it comes to wellness, and that's why what we're building at the Block Club is so important.
Wow. Well, you know, Sally, you teach yoga, which, you know, combines all of these different aspects of mental and physical wellness. Why do you think yoga is such a great vehicle for finding your well-being? And why has it been important in your journey?
Well, if anyone is like me and they live in their mind or their brain a lot, I think yoga really helps us get out of our mind and into the body. And our bodies are very beautiful and unique in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's limiting and we're harsh critics on our own bodies. So I feel like it gives me a chance to understand what my body needs, really listen to it and practice hearing that very small whisper of, here's my tension, here's my pain. I don't want to do this. This doesn't feel good for me. And it's really hard to ignore that sound when society's voice is so much larger than our own bodies. So I think yoga for me is a time to practice listening to myself and really honoring my body's truth and integrating just that inner voice that sometimes we either don't hear or sometimes ignore.
Yeah, it can so easily be drowned out, that inner voice. So important to listen to your body. LaRaza, you know, one of the goals of your space, the Block Club, is to really make wellness a priority. So tell me more about that. How are you doing that?
Well, we promote wellness by being a cultural infrastructure and addressing individual and collective needs simultaneously. We promote it by ensuring that this space is safe and affirming to the folks that come in the door. From the art that we have on the wall that are featuring local Black and Brown artists, to every touch point that we really, an event that we really design, we really aim to reduce the stress of quote unquote code switching and nurture the spirit.
That is excellent. What have you heard from the community about their needs and the relationship to wellness?
A lot of it is like, where are we? Where are people that look like us in those spaces? And how are we, where can we go to show up and just be ourselves? And that's why Sati on the Block is so important for, and that's why we actually needed to create that space and that event.
Yeah. Well, tell me about that, Sati on the Block. What is that? And how have you sort of created this space in these classes in a way where people feel comfortable, like they don't have to perform or code switch?
Yeah. So we merged both of our brands together. So seeking Satya means seeking your truth, not conforming to external pressures or sometimes our own internal pressures. So that's my brand. And then, of course, we have the Block Club. So when we really thought about putting wellness events together, La Raza's big shout out to her for seeing my vision of not just putting on wellness events, but taking it a step further and asking the community, what do you need? How can we best support you through your wellness journey? How do we educate and inspire others about not only the businesses that exist here in San Diego, but the barriers that prevent people from really paying attention to their wellness? So Truth on the Block, you know, is ultimately what that stands for. And we did our first panel together, and it was such a success because folks really got to hear from a mental health therapist. They got to hear from a personal trainer and yoga instructor as well. And then someone who does hip hop trampoline. And our goal is to always bring different modalities of wellness, whether it's nutrition, mental health, physical health, emotional health. And La Raza and the Block Club were amazing in saying, yes, we actually need to bring this event into our community. So it's not just about performing wellness, but really getting deeper into understanding what does wellness look like for us and how do we do this together as a community versus isolated.
Yeah. And in San Diego, the city of San Diego, culturally, the legacy of it, Black spaces are often fragmented, or they are fragmented. And so the Block Club really provides an anchor, and that stability, that home place where folks can come into your living room away from home, is the foundation of wellness for the Black Arts and Culture District and the community here in San Diego. And I really admire Sati on the Block's and Sally's vision with Sati on the Block, because it exemplifies that integral aspect of what's needed in our community. It's about accessing mindfulness, and it's rooted in the community needs. As she mentioned, we did reach out to the community to see where the missing spaces are, or where the gaps are.
Sure.
And did our best to fill that with this mission.
Wow. Well, you all sold me at Hip Hop Trampoline.
Shout out to Tribe Fitness.
Yes.
I mean, talk more about the challenges of finding wellness, because, you know, La Raza, you're talking about, you know, how Black spaces and brown spaces can feel really far apart or fragmented. Tell me more about that and how you what you've concluded in terms of filling in that gap.
Mm-hmm. Well, because San Diego's industry is often like beach body focused, you know, Sally and I are talking about how it's so fast paced and things along those lines. It can feel like extremely transactional and very narrow minded. And so when we were able to identify that through surveying and just having conversation with the community, we were able to piece together a panel that is inclusive. And then to partner that with a yoga class is something that we're providing that space that's been missing.
Okay. I mean, Sally, how do you make your classes as inclusive as possible? I mean, I know that's a priority for you.
Yes, I love this question. So first and foremost, I really focus on my language. So instead of using the word modification, I use the word option. I think modify sometimes limits to us and them, or good or bad, et cetera, strong, not strong. So I really focus on, here are the options. Take the option that works best for you. That can look different from your neighbor. That can look different from my body. And that can also look different from your own body. What you were able to do yesterday, your body just doesn't want to do it today. And that's okay. So I always use the language of inviting. If you want more, take this option. If you want more, go here. If you want less, go back. So language is very big in how I do that. I use y'all. I try to use as inclusive options towards BIPOC, non-binary. That's all. You know, it might sound like just one word here, but to somebody that is being seen, that is feeling very valued. Also, the music I play is very different. I primarily highlight Black and Brown artists. I try to choose very affirming lyrics in my songs. I intentionally curate the entire hour of a playlist, and it goes in a very specific order to match the flow of our practice. And the folks who come to my class, if you look at just by phenotype, it's all very diverse in terms of age, body size, ability. I always promote that I may look able-bodied, but there are certain limitations in my own body, and I highlight that as an instructor so that folks know that my mat is not any different than yours. And the way that I do that throughout my practice, and then afterwards we build community, so I always offer refreshments after class, and they're complimentary to those who attend. And I go around and I just talk to folks, hey, how was your practice? How was this? And then folks start to get to know each other, and it's the best feeling in the world when they all become friends and connect with each other after class.
And that community is being built. I mean, what do they say? What have you heard from people in your class about their experience, a feeling included or excluded, you know, in the fitness scene in San Diego?
So the first compliment I get is the music. I will see them Shazam songs like in a downward dog, or ask me for what song did you play at this part of class, which is very affirming. There's one person that is coming to mind right now, and she said, I actually feel safe with you. I feel like you're not pressuring me to not do it, because sometimes we'll tell folks you don't have to do this, but there's still maybe some subliminal judgment there. And she actually feels comfortable to not do what the rest of the practice is doing. And I think that that's a testament to my style in teaching. Mm-hmm. And folks will always talk about just how I make them feel comfortable. It's a very personable class. I know you by name. If you attend regularly, I know you by name. I greet you. And if you're new to my class, I make it a point to come and introduce myself to you and check in with you either before or after class.
I can testify to that. I've been to Sally's classes, yeah, and they're great. I mean, yoga is a powerful vehicle, but I would just like to acknowledge that it's been, in San Diego, it's been exclusatory. And so when we use it, yes, to strengthen and to increase flexibility, but more crucially, in classes that Sally run, we're talking about breathwork as a tool for anxiety, or meditation as a practice in self-compassion. And, you know, it really resonates a lot more deep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys just kind of really take this whole 360 approach to wellness. Mm-hmm. In that, LaRaza, you have this aspect also of care and well-being, and that is hair. Mm-hmm. And it can also be a big part of self-care. In your view, what's the relationship between hair, self-care, and our wellness?
Yeah, I mean, hair is such a, it's like a frontier. We're talking about like our identity. And a bad hair day isn't just trivial. It can be a serious blow of confidence and a source of stress. And so the time that you spend washing your hair, conditioning your hair, styling it, it's truly a ritual. And I always encourage people to have their designated spaces, clean their tools. You know, if you're missing a tooth in your comb, like replace it. You know, clean your hairbrush. You know, you can clean your scrunchies. And, you know, these things that are also connected to self-care and well-being.
Wow. And you specialize in Afro water science. Tell me more about that. Tell me what that is and the relationship really between water quality and hair. That's something people overlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm 100% an advocate for that, hair science. And the Afro texture hair has a slower rate of water absorption due to its coily texture, but it also loses moisture fast. And so this hydration paradox is why hair care science is unique. And in San Diego, with its hard water, you know, we got harsh minerals, it causes buildup, it can be a major culprit for dryness. And while hydration is internal and moisturization is like a topical thing, without that proper balance, you can create the dullness and the dryness, and that's where that comes from. And so harsh waters in itself can block moisture and lead to frustration. Mm-hmm. And this isn't vanity, right? It's truly a practice against a barrier to hair care.
Right, right. That hard water can cause breakage, mm-hmm. All sorts of things. Mm-hmm. You actually put on an exhibit at the Fleet Science Center about this a while back.
Yeah.
Talk about that experience and why it was important for you to bring that education to the public.
Yeah, so that was a culminating event for me. I had been studying hair science for about 12 years before I brought that experience to San Diego. And it's called the Water Main Art Experience. I was selected as one of two artists from Southeast San Diego for the Art for Planetary Health initiative, which explore the symbiotic relationship between human and earth. And so with the Water Main Art Experience, it was an interactive art installation where folks were able to blend their own hair water. There was an interview on display with Ms. Cheryl Morrow that I went through, and she was a pivotal mentor as well during that journey. But we're really just exploring how our hair care habits not only impact us on a daily basis, but also how it impacts the water quality in San Diego, which is also a touchy subject here mm-hmm. as well.
It is. Well, still to come, we're continuing the conversation about wellness and self-care in the new year with some practical advice. KPBS Midday Edition is back after the break.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts, and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
Thanks for sticking around. You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. When life gets busy, it can be hard to find the time to take care of ourselves and our bodies. I'm joined again by two guests who are prioritizing wellness and really making it accessible for everyone. With me again is Sally Morgan. She's a yoga instructor and the founder of Seeking Satya. And LaRaza Webb, co-founder and COO of The Block Club. She's also an Afro hair scientist and a licensed braider. So, you know, LaRaza, before the break, we talked about some of the challenges to taking care of textured hair. So let's talk about some practical tips for the new year, starting with hair care and self-care. You know, hair products, for example, can be so expensive. So how do you encourage people to DIY and use what they have at home?
Well, to piggyback off of what I mentioned earlier about having the designated space, that's a primary thing to create the space where you are allowing for the creativity to flow. In my brand, Restoring the Fundamentals, I also promote that you are creating or involved in a sense of novelty when you sit down in front of that mirror and you identify how your hair is going to behave today and how it's what style you're going to be able to create today. But as far as like DIY practices, I would just strongly recommend that you start with monthly clarifying washes. You can do a DIY leave-in mix with like just oils or hairspray or rice water as well. Aloe vera juice is a really good DIY with just a little bit of oil of your choice. There's different benefits for different oils that you can research and look into. Always research the ingredients of the products, not just, you know, reviews. That's a good start, but you also want to identify what is actually inside of those products. So whether you have allergic reaction to something or not, you know, it's important to know what is going into those products and audit those products that you currently have in your space. throw away any tools that are broken or just dingy or you've had too long and they may be carrying like a barbicide or a disinfectant isn't going to quite cut it because it's got the buildup. You know, that is the start of like just clarifying your space, cleaning your space, creating the environment for the creativity to flow, because styling your hair is a form of art. And it's important to be able to have the space to create your art in as well.
It really is. Going into the last break, you mentioned water quality. So what are we to do with this hard water? Even with the most nourishing hair care products, does the water ruin all that?
It can. It really can have a huge impact on that. I would highly advise investing in a filter or, you know, something along those lines to just kind of like clear out those hard minerals.
Okay. And, you know, it's also about establishing a routine and testing and trying stuff out, right?
Absolutely.
You know, because different things work for different people's hair.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes once you find a routine, you might have to switch it up a bit because your hair has become immune to it in a sense. And you just have to, you know, play around with it and see what works today. That's part of the novelty and the joy of beauty of hair care and hairstyling, my opinion.
Is there a rule of thumb when it comes to switching up products like your shampoo or your conditioner?
From my experience, it's really just trying it out. You just have to identify. You just have to give it a try and see what works for you.
And when it stops working,
switch
it
up.
Something else.
Mm-hmm. And then you might be able to go back to that routine. You never know. Maybe you're just toggling between two different routines because once your hair has become immune, if you will, to one routine, you can switch it up to the next one. And then it's also a different routine, whether you have your hair straightened or you have your hair curly. And so, you know, going back and forth and then identifying what works for you.
All right. What are some of the other needs you've seen out in the community when it comes to caring for textured hair? Like, you know, is hair health a concern?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because of the historical trials that we have encountered in our community. Historically, we did things to our hair that manipulated it in a sense that caused a lot of damage to it. And so that's why the natural hair care movement had become what it was, because we are not having to use chemicals as much, dyes and even pressing the hair as often as we were. It was just causes brittle breakage damage to the hair. And so, yeah, it is a concern, but that's why we have platforms like Michelle Morrow's YouTube that teaches hair science as well. It's free, accessible source. And then I have my Restoring the Fundamentals brand, which is a self-paced book online that's on sale on Amazon called Restoring the Fundamentals, Heal Your Roots Through Mindfulness and Self-Care. And that's something that you can reference to be able to identify, well, first reclaim your hair journey and identify where you are on your journey and where you have been and where you want to go.
Yeah. And that's super important because, you know, so often you hear about certain hairstyles being a barrier to fitness and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So reclaiming your hair and its natural texture as well is so important. What are some of the I want to shift a little bit to focus in on the fitness aspect a bit more of wellness. Sally, if someone's getting into yoga or exercise for the first time, or maybe the first time in a while at least, how can they make that transition less daunting?
Yeah, I would say first is to use your breath. It's amazing how our breath is with us all the time, but we don't actually use it. So really deep inhales through the nose, open mouth exhales, ha sound, very powerful to just help you get through a moment of anxiety, a moment of contradiction in your own mind, or you're battling, should I go, should I not? One tactical, that tangible thing that I try to use is focus on what it feels like as opposed to what it looks like. So if you're doing something and it doesn't feel great, then stop that and find something that does feel great. That is going to allow for more sustainable long-term routines as opposed to something that just looks strong, healthy, etc. And start small. I think folks really with fitness, new year, new me, or new year, better me, I think is the tagline for 2026. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you start small and then compound it, I think you'd be more surprised at the long-term results you can see versus if you start off really high and then it kind of winds down around February, March. It's kind of the trend we see in fitness and wellness.
You know, sometimes the vibe of a class just does not exactly sort of match up to what someone's looking for. What do you suggest there? I mean, how do you find something that doesn't just feel right in your body, but feels right in your heart and matches your values?
Absolutely. I think, honestly, with TikTok and Instagram and social media and all of the things now, really taking time to look at some of the videos, look at some of the instructors, try to see if there's comments around the playlist, if that's important to you, try to see the audience of who goes. But, you know, allow yourself enough time, the same way we spend time researching perhaps what products we buy, or we look at influencers to determine what products we buy. Why are we not dedicating the same amount of energy to decide what classes we should attend or what type of modalities of fitness we're exercising? We do this with restaurants. We do this with places to socialize. I think that wellness needs that same amount of attention. And, you know, type in whatever it is that you're looking for. If you're looking for R&B yoga, if you're looking for a Black fitness instructor, if you're looking for LGBT inclusiveness within wellness, whatever it is, search those hashtags. And I think you'd be surprised to see that folks are tagging those things because we're trying to promote that wellness is for everyone. It's not a one size fits all. And it's just about finding what works for you.
Well, indeed. I mean, there's also, you know, pacing. Some people might think HIIT classes, for example, or CrossFit are just like too fast paced or too intense. But for others, yoga might really feel too slow. So how do you encourage people to find the type of pacing exercise that's right for them? I mean, what should they be looking for?
So once you've identified what works for you, how you best learn, and in what environment you best learn, I think recognizing that the modality can also offer a variety within that. So there's really fast-paced yoga out there, and there's also very slow-paced yoga out there. So really reading the descriptions. If you don't understand, like, for example, one of the words we use is vinyasa, which is breath to movement, that could be slow, and that could also be really fast. So really try to look up the description, see what that means. Maybe call the studio, call the place, DM the instructor, and ask a couple questions. It doesn't hurt in any capacity. And then when you go to a class, sometimes folks don't share with the instructors what's going on in their body. So if somebody's just getting back into this, or they have an injury, or they tend to have a lot of low back pain, share that with the instructor before you start class and watch how the instructor guides you through different options or through different spaces in which you can still achieve the same stretch or strength in that posture, but still make sure that it fits you. And just don't be afraid to talk to us. I think we want people to come and talk to us.
Yeah. So often people live by no pain, no gain. And sometimes that's not always good is what I'm hearing from you all. What are your thoughts on education in our community around wellness? What are the misconceptions you continue to hear, LaRaza?
That there's just not many spaces for it. A lot of folks are going to YouTube University to answer a lot of their questions. And like to Sally's point, they have the instructor right there in their face, or they can ask the questions to, but they don't necessarily, they might be intimidated or they're not necessarily confident enough. We have the resources there, especially if you know what you like and you're attending a class that has the right vibe, you know, is the supportive community that makes you feel strong. You have the folks in there that can help you. Sometimes it's just a matter of nudging the person right next to you and asking the question and getting some answers.
Sally?
For me, I would say it's probably just a privilege. I think where I came from, people like me don't do yoga. We don't have time to do yoga. Yoga is very fluffy and nice and things to enjoy, but it has literally changed my life on and off the mat. I've truly been able to go inward and understand what I'm feeling, why I'm feeling it, and just honoring my body. Sounds like a physical thing, but in reality, when I'm off the mat, it also allows me to honor my emotions, and it allows me to honor how I'm feeling, be able to say what I really want to say, and go after some of the dreams that I've... Satya on the Block is so much more than just a dream. And all of the lessons I learned on the yoga mat, I'm able to take it off. So I would say that yes, it is a privilege and there is access perhaps for some, and it's maybe less accessible for others. But I think at least what we're doing at the Block Club and Satya on the Block and in my own rooftop yoga classes, if it is ever an issue of access, please come talk to me. I'm more than happy to invite you. I don't want that to be a barrier as to why you are not pursuing wellness.
All right. And there's lots to do out there. Of course, we'll have all of the resources and the links to sort of follow you all and see what you have going on our website, kpbs.org. I've been speaking with LaRaza Webb, co-founder and CEO, COO of The Block Club, and Sally Morgan, yoga instructor and founder of Seeking Satya. Again, we'll include those links on our webpage. LaRaza, Sally, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.